Hey everyone, this is Tiffany Dupong. Welcome to Insert Home, a tech podcast where we focus not only on great technology in the Microsoft space, but also on the people who make up our awesome community. Here are your hosts, Ashley Rogers and Ed Gonzalez, BizApp MVPs, both focusing on Power Automate.
I started the recording.
Yeah.
Is this thing on?
There we go.
Oh, is that going to be the 2021 thing? Is this thing on?
Is this thing on? Am I on mute again? That was 24. So you and I have, EY, a couple of things in common. And so I was checking out the website, which, by the way, CRM Ninja, right? Is that the handle and then also the website?
It is indeed the CRM Ninja.
So I was checking that out, and it turns out that EY also likes motorcycles. I actually stopped riding a while ago, but we have that in common. Yours are more sporty. I rode the big giant cruisers. And then the other thing is, I like flying airplanes, and he likes falling out of them. Did you know?
Oh, that's very interesting. Skydiving. Right? Yeah, I'm terrified.
Hopefully skydiving, right?
I'm terrified of that.
when was your last jump? Because it looked like you hadn't done that in a while, yeah?
I stopped skydiving.
Forever and ever?
Essentially, yes. So I trained, I licensed, I continued. I had a slight problem with physics on a landing and managed to break my leg.
Wow. You got hit by a planet then pretty hard then.
No, it wasn't actually because it's all because it was muddy. Because I touched down and I had to roll. So I rolled, but my foot stayed in the mud.
Stayed
so physics. So I did quite an interesting thing to my leg. Thankfully, nothing came out the side of it. It was all internal. But as a result, I have titanium running through my leg. So if I'm ever like trapped somewhere or like ransomed, I can just like set my leg because it's worth thousands and thousands because it's medical grade titanium.
So pay attention, everybody. You're in the UK, right? So
I am in the UK. Yeah.
If we're looking for precious metals, then they're in his leg. Just make sure you point out which one it is, so that way we don't have any, you know, nasty accidents. Any further nasty accidents?
People can try and come and see which leg it is if they can get close enough.
Yeah. Right. Good luck. Good luck. And his dirty, hairy voice. Good.
That was sort of the last time. So I recovered from that. In fact, the first conversation that I had, I'd arranged a call, and I'd been set up with somebody who was living in Europe, and I'd arranged a call on Sunday, and this happened Sunday morning, and I texted her to say, are you up for the call Sunday afternoon? Still, I've had a little accident. She's like, yeah, let's get on the phone. So I got on the phone, and it was the first time speaking to her. It was about 3 hours after it had happened. I was in hospital, waiting to be operated on, not on any drugs, no medication. And my conversation, apparently I sounded slightly high, which maybe was because of the adrenaline that was still going through me from the jump.
Yeah.
But she said one of the reasons she continued talking to me was it was the most interesting conversation that she had had with anybody in her dating experience. It's just so different that it got to conversation number two. But one of the things we promised was that I would, if I was going to continue skydiving, I would have to give it up when we got kids. And we got kids, and therefore I stopped. But I kept the motorbike. So
that is such a great story. Oh, that's really sweet.
I'm glad that it ended like it did. And that was one of the reasons I stopped riding too, is because I had a couple of shots across the bow, so to speak.
Yep.
And I just, you know, I took the hint and I'm like, okay, now's a good time. I'm going to walk away from the table while I've got all these chips in front of me and never really look back. And that's good. That's good. So do you still race then on the bike? Because I see you did some track days.
I have done some track days, and I do take the bike out still occasionally, not as much as I would like to with work, the weather, and with the current world situation. But I still get out from time to time and have a group of riders in my neighborhood. We sort of ride out together occasionally. So, yeah, it's still going. I'm not giving that up.
And so dipping into the tech side, how long would you say you've been in the tech world, like your whole life, or is this something new?
Well, when you say tech, how would you, you define tech?
Yeah, working with computers, right, as a means of your livelihood, right?
I've been doing it since my teens.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I started off with hardware. I started off building computers and sending them to family and friends and the community and hardware problems, and got an opportunity to interview a family friend's company. They needed somebody in support. I'm like, okay, fine. They they did this software. It was CRM or something. I had no idea what it was.
Oh yeah.
And interviewed, and it was great. And they said, right, so this is CRM, and you know, and it's on SQL. And I went, yay, that sounds really cool.
Right.
And the interview went over, and I left the interview and went across the road into the booksellers and the local bookshop that was nearby the office. And I bought a book on The Dummy's Guide to CRM, or The Idiot's Guide to CRM, whatever it was called, and The Idiot's Guide to SQL, and actually learned what SQL was and right. CRM. So I got the job. And yeah, ever since then, I've been in IT in one way or another. Dipped out of CRM at times, and obviously it changed to Dynamics 365 because yeah. We're talking about the Microsoft product. But I had an IT managed service company, managed support company for a while, which I ran, set up together with some other people. I've done training, not on Microsoft stuff, but CRM is always what Microsoft stuff is always what I've been coming back to.
So, and when you say CRM, I mean, it's always been the Microsoft version, you know, it hasn't been any other CRM products, or do you touch in some of that stuff and it's okay, we won't tell Microsoft?
That's fine. So I had a very, very brief couple of months in Sugar CRM at the time, because that was the community. They had a community edition, which was free. Obviously nowadays it's not. And I have seen Salesforce a little bit because a previous company that I was at used Salesforce. Mm-hmm. But other than that, no, it's been Microsoft all the way.
So you, when we talk about, you know, all of our different visitors and their journey into tech, it sounds like maybe you were just born in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to say that this is very much seems like a self-taught, learn on the job sort of entry into it, which is also very intriguing. There's a lot of self-taught folks in the community.
Yeah. Did you go to school? I mean, is that an okay question to ask?
No, you can ask. I went to high school. I studied abroad at a religious college for a couple of years, but I didn't go to university. I have a formal IT degree or any computer related degree or anything else.
That's something else we've seen too, is a lot of people with non-technical or no degree at all. I'm in that boat and doing very well in the technical side, and especially with the new platform enhancements.
Oh, fully agree there. Even as a child, I was messing around. I mean, I remember in my primary school, I think that's elementary school in the States.
Yeah.
So in there, I could get into the like admin side of stuff because I was the only one that read the manual. And the manual had the password. They actually printed the password in the manual. It was a default password. Nobody had ever changed it.
Of course.
And in fact, the password was change me. Because I was 7 or 8 at the time, and that shows you just how young I was when I was in tech. Started off, I memorized it as Chan Jim because Chan-Jim. It was all letters together, and I didn't realize it was actually change me.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Chan-Jim. And just played around with gadgets and stuff, and you know, yeah, I've always loved tech and gadgets and things. So for me, it's been a natural self-taught progression.
Do you still tinker with the hardware stuff at all? I mean, are you making?
I have gadgets. I have gadgets.
Yeah. Are you one of those guys that has like the latest and greatest of everything?
Not always.
Not always.
Not always. And partially that's because my wife says I have too much stuff. But for instance, I have a barbecue, a decent barbecue with a smoke box on the side of it, so I can smoke meat. And yeah. I just got a automated fan control, so it's got probes inside, and it will automate the air coming into it to keep it just the right temperature. And I will get it on Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, so I can be sitting in my study and see what the temperature of the meat is and the temperature of that and what the fan speed and get stats on it.
Have you tried connecting it to Power Automate? Have you tried doing something with it?
Not yet.
The smart gadgets in the home and integration with Power Automate just really intrigues me.
Or voice control. I won't mention her name because she's in my office right now. But, you know, so-and-so, let's have a barbecue, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's on my list to explore the APIs for this particular piece of hardware. I've seen stuff that people have done with other manufacturer makes of hardware around barbecues and stuff. So
I did one with the sprinklers. I had a flick button that basically every time we took the dog out and she'd do her stuff on the front lawn, I'd want to run the sprinklers. So I just started carrying the flick button with me. So she'd do her stuff and I'd click it twice and the sprinklers would come on for 5 minutes. And that seemed to work out quite well, but no, it rains every day. So I don't need that.
Natural sprinklers.
Right, natural. So talking about, you know, the Dynamics side of things and sort of the introduction of Power Apps and stuff, is that changing your business, you know, your strategy or your model at least? What are you finding that's different now with the introduction of, I guess, the maker, the embracing of the maker audience and making a platform a little more accessible to folks that, so that they can do some things? Are you seeing any changes on your side?
So it's interesting you asked that. I worked in end users for years, in which we would have serious dev teams working generally alongside the business, creating stuff as the business needs. And the business didn't get involved at all. I mean, they would spec it out. They knew what was going on. There was great interactions between the business owners and the dev teams. It was great, but they didn't really get into the tech. And then I went into partner land and consultancy,
yeah.
One or two quite large consultancies. And again, it was sort of very much, you tell us the specs, we go, we build your solution, we deliver it. Then when the first day of the first lockdown in 2020 in the UK, March 23rd, I joined another partner, which specializes, it's called ANS Group here in the UK. And the BizApps team here, which I'm a solution architect in, we don't just build the solution, we actually train the clients into how to build. And this business unit has been doing it for a decade.
Wow.
So
what did they do before, like Power Platform stuff, and they're teaching people how to build? Are they teaching
dynamics.
People how, like dynamic solutions and things like
dynamic
that?
Dynamic solutions, yeah. So we start off with, if they may not have any knowledge of what Dynamics is, or now Power Platform as well, but we would educate them, and we would start off doing the build alongside them, with them on the build, some of the build sessions, and get them to understand what, and I'm going to use the old phrases, what fields were, and you know,
right.
and views and all the rest of it, and entities and stuff, and get them to put it together so that we could empower and educate them. It's our USP. It's been our USP for a decade.
How was that received? Because I've had a hard enough time getting users on board, right? Just using the thing.
So how it's received, it depends on the client.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, some clients have no interest in people learning, but probably the majority of our clients, once we explain the benefits to them, they start seeing it. Because if they want to add another field to the form, or they want to create a view or create a form, they don't have to go out to partner land and get quoted and get, you know, 5 days in for a mini project and get it done. They can do it themselves. Our aim is to empower them through use of the platform. Now, our platform in terms of Power Apps makes it easier in terms of creating sort of custom model apps. Canvas apps are more challenging, but we're taking the same approach with Canvas apps. We're educating them on how to start building simple Power Apps like Canvas and stuff. I think it's really great.
Did you find that sort of approach works best with a certain size company? Like, maybe the middle of the road or the really big folks, or are you seeing success with that, with the smaller stuff?
We're seeing success across the board in terms of small, medium, and large customers.
Oh, that's great.
No, that's impressive, yeah.
And part of that is due to, you know, our great sales guys and obviously the people who are driving the projects in terms of explaining the benefits. Because if you would just turn around and said, we'll teach you how to build.
Yeah.
But like, we have no time for it. So we have to go into what the benefits are around it and how we'll, you know, and they come on some sessions and they see how it goes and they start getting captivated, because we want to aim it that the users we're building with, they become those power users of the solution. So it's essentially we're training the trainer, and then they go and they can evangelize the tech and they know how to do stuff and they feel empowered. And then they start thinking of new solutions they can do on the tech.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It's such a great way to build the community from, you know, within the customer base, you know, and that's not just, so it's not just the developers, the consultants, right, who are doing it out there. Some of the best solutions I've seen come from people doing it on the job, right, because they have a real use case. They have something that actually means something to them, they're passionate about. So I do love seeing that kind of story.
And the story, the story that I love to hear, and that I tell my clients, is I tell them the story of Schlumberger. I don't know if you guys have come across Schlumberger. Ooh. Schlumberger is a small engineering company, multinational. They have, I think, about 12,000 to 15,000 engineers. It's a global company. Alan Chai.
Right. Yeah.
So he's at Schlumberger, and their adoption of Power Platform, and he turns around and says they have more Power Apps than Microsoft does.
Oh, wow.
Model and Canvas. I think they estimate it like 1.1 or 1.2 apps per engineer, because engineers come up with very specific scenarios, sure. and they basically educate them and say, go and do it yourself.
That's awesome.
And build it. And so they have like little bit apps to handle very, very specific situations, and they have lots of them. But they're empowering their entire organization.
I mean, that's the whole tagline, right? Because you're putting the people that are closest to the problem with, you're equipping them with the ability to resolve the problem. So of course they're going to be able to do it, and you don't lose anything in translation when you're scoping stuff out, right?
Yeah.
I want to go back a little bit, because one of the things that UI said was the first day of the first lockdown in the UK, he thought this is a good time to start a new job. What what happened there? And I mean, were you scared at all, or was it just like, this is natural and this is what everybody does?
I had left the partner that I was at previously a couple of months before.
Okay.
I didn't feel it was the right fit for me in terms of variety of things. And I was looking around and interviewing around, and I got introduced by several people within the community here in the UK to ANS because they knew they had the lead solution architect for the BizApp section. And I was talking to them, and I went up to interview with them because they're based in Manchester and I'm based in London. It's about 200 miles distance, which in the USA is a small, you know, amount, but here in the UK it's a decent one. Right. So I took the train up February 2020. I went in person. You know, there were a couple of jokes about, oh, you've got a cold, you know, have you heard about this thing that's going on in China?
Really?
And yeah, so I went up in person, interviewed, and got accepted. I was starting in March, and then everything hit in the UK, and they're like, we don't know if, you know, we're able to start you. And I'm like, I'm ready to start. You know, right. I feel it's a good fit and all the rest of it. And like, it was the Wednesday afternoon. I was supposed to start on the Monday, which was the 23rd. And the Wednesday afternoon, they called me up. They're like, yeah, okay, you can start.
Nice. Thank you.
So so I was like, I was a bit worried.
Yeah.
With everything happening and stuff.
Yeah, that is so on the verge, right? Because I actually took a new job back in April 2020, which I was told that it's kind of crazy, right? Because it was right in the middle of lockdown. We'd been locked down for about a month or so in the U.S. and where I was, and the onboarding experience was radical because it was all remote. I had been doing remote work before, but for previous companies, I had flown out and done, you know, the in-person interviews and the in-person sort of onboarding for a week and things like that. And so I thought I was early on, right? But what a risk for you, right? I feel like that would have been nail biting to do that so early on. Did you find that you had any difficulty with sort of integrating with your coworkers, being that things began locking down and there was, you know, this immediate remote work?
It was a bit of a challenge. Partially because all inductions previously were done in person.
Right.
So, you know, did the induction, but got to know the business team, got through the induction, very light induction. They're really not heavy on formalities, unlike other places that I've been or that I know people are at. It was like 2 hours of induction, and there was like, that's it. Good. Right. Here's a bit of homework. So I got to know, and I was already talking to my manager and stuff, and I was arranging, I mean, we're using Teams and stuff, so arranging meetings with the other members of the wider team and the wider business to chat to and introduce myself. And so that was on the Monday. And on the Wednesday, I was like, we're doing COVID-19 triage programs. You're in charge.
Wow.
Oh, so you were right on, like, the front of that, like on the cusp.
I got thrown in. I got thrown in the deep end because turned out it was Canvas apps. And my background is model driven. I was seeing screen, rolled into clients creating Canvas apps off the bat. All I can say is thank God for the community, such amazing people out there who I'm really thankful for, who were helping me and giving me advice as to why my formulas weren't working and all the rest of that. Yes, I got thrown in the deep end, but surfed through it, apparently.
And you walked across the street to the bookstore and grabbed a book on Canvas apps, right?
No, I went out on Twitter and went, hashtag power addicts.
Right. Help me out, please. And so how are things now with respect to the pandemic and things? Is it still like full lockdown over there, or?
We're in almost full lockdown still at the moment. I've been working remotely for now, it's 10 months or so, 10 and a half months, but got full setup, home study. So doing that, but it's, yeah. The problem is people are not thinking logically around what should happen.
Yeah, we've got kind of the same issues with science here. And it was interesting that you brought up, you know, looking back at those first couple of months through the lens of today, like making jokes about a cold. Ashley, when you started, you know, at your new thing, do you remember being in that context of like, oh, somebody's got a tickle or whatever, there's this thing going around way over there? Because I don't necessarily remember, right, what it was like before.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and so if I'm thinking about, I was starting at the end of April, we were still sort of thinking that the kids might finish their school, like their school year might go back in May, right? And I kept thinking, okay, maybe a couple more weeks. Okay, maybe a couple more weeks. And then I think it was not until they just canceled the entire rest of the school year that I went, oh, yeah, okay.
this is really a thing,
right? And I know that everybody was very worried at first, but it hadn't touched, you know, I live sort of in a smaller town, and actually where I am, they actually call it a village. So it's really, we were sort of insulated a bit. And then once the kids were not going to go back to school and then people started getting sick where I was, that was probably like May or June, right? So I still remember that feeling of, oh, you know, if you get sick, I really, you know, it's probably not it, but then it really didn't hit for us until I think the early summer. So.
And EY, you have kids. Kids is this now, plural?
I have kids. In fact, number three came along a week before I started my job.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
So how old are the other two then?
So my eldest, first one is a girl and she's coming up for 6.5. Second one is a boy and he just turned 4 at the beginning of January. And number three is coming up now for a year in March.
And so the oldest would have started school or was already in school before?
She was already in school. So she was in reception. So here they start, like, it goes nursery, reception, and then year 1, 2, 3, etc. So she was in reception last year.
Okay.
So, yeah, so school shut down and she was at home and there was a bit of homeschooling and stuff. Then she went back to school in September and then they closed it down at the end of December and she's now doing from home. My son is in nursery, which is still open for him. So yeah, it's just juggling.
How are you finding that as far as the work from home and the, you know, remote learning? I think we hear a lot of the stories. I think people are having typical experiences, but how was it for you, especially with having a young one?
My wife being on maternity leave was able to take care of it and has been an absolute angel throughout. I honestly don't know how we would have coped if she wouldn't do what she does. I just don't understand how she does what she does. I like sometimes think there are like 2 or 3 of her around. I just don't see the others. So yeah, it's challenging at times. But you know, it's something, and especially, you know, we are being particularly careful,
yeah,
a lot more than others around us at times. But we feel that it's the right thing to do. And yeah, it's a hardship, but we have to do this in order to get through it,
yeah,
to try and get back to as much normality as we can as soon as possible.
Yeah. Where you live, is it a big city or is it,
yes,
where are you at?
I'm in London.
Oh, okay. So I've heard of that. And it sounds pretty big.
It's a small little village somewhere in England.
Right. Is it London proper or is there like suburbs off the side? I've never been. So
we're in outer London. We're not in the inner city. We're in, I guess you could call us the suburbs slightly. Depends, I guess, on who you ask. But definitely, you know, the not the very city built up bit, but definitely the general built up bit sort of on the outside.
And so like staying withdrawn and at home and stuff is still pretty okay. It's not one of those things where you got to get on the metro or whatever.
Correct. Yeah. No, don't need to get on trains and stuff. Yeah. So we got a supermarket, one of the big supermarket just down the road and stuff that we need locally. And yeah, it's just basically staying at home. We're also lucky we have several large parks within about 5 minutes of us. So we can get out to the park and stuff quite easily.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, especially absolutely with all the kids. Yeah.
Definitely so.
I feel very fortunate that I don't have any kids in school right now. And I'm not, you know, I can just, you know, do the thing and not worry about also being a teacher and all the things. So I definitely tip the hat to all the parents out there that are doing that stuff as well as, you know, taking care of the household as well as doing the job and everything else. So that's crazy. And I hope we get back to some version of normal soon.
Indeed.
It has been helpful, so helpful in the community to have those various sort of like Zoom meetups and things. I know, EY, I think I've seen you on a number of them before.
Like the happy hours?
Yeah. Just the various ones that happen through the community are particularly helpful, I think, right? Because it's really the only way that get to see everybody at this point. I mean, we're not in the same kind of lockdown that you are in right now, EY. Actually, my kids are still in school. We're fortunate enough that that's actually able to happen at this point. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's been great with the community, not only with the help that they give in general across just technology questions, right? But also just the coming together, knowing that everybody is suffering, right, at this point.
Yeah, I have to do a shout out here to the Bespoke Badger because
Oh yeah,
the Badger.
Thursday night is Badger night. It's even written on our we got a magnetic planner board on our fridge for the days of the week.
Yeah.
So what's on and doing supper and stuff. Thursday night, it's Badger night is written in there, like in permanent ink, permanent marker.
Nice.
Because without that, that's sort of one of my few escapes that I get a week.
Yeah.
You know, just chatting. Even if I'm not chatting on it, I'm just sitting there. I can be, you know, doing something else, cleaning my room or, you know, repairing screens as I do from time to time, which people love joking about, but just having it on the background. Other people and the same thing. And I know for a lot of others, it's been a lifeline as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you say repairing screens, you got monitors open and doing stuff or what are you doing?
Yeah. I occasionally buy and repair some screens from time to time and then sell them on eBay.
Oh, that's a nice line.
Because you don't have enough to do.
Right. because I don't have enough to do. Yeah, it's again fiddling around with gadgets and stuff.
And so what's the plan going forward? Like what do you have next? Do you have any events coming up or anything like that? I stole Ashley's question. Ashley, do you want to ask it so you get that?
No, I was going to say that's good. It was about to be my next question. Okay. We always ask, what's next? What's next what's for next? You?
I don't have any major events coming up at the moment that I'm aware of. I mean, we're starting up a new user group here in the UK with a USB, which is unique.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to say any more about, but watch this space.
Okay.
It's got a really great thing that no other UG has come up with to date. But apart from that, we'll see later on in the year, maybe events. Otherwise, it's continuing with my blog, continuing with stuff, continuing my interview series and stuff. So yeah, we'll see what comes up.
That's super exciting. Yeah, I can't wait to see what comes out of that. So where can people find you? What is your blog if you want to do a quick shout out to that?
TheCRM.ninja.
There you go.
It's all about the brand.
And then also
I even have t-shirts.
The t-shirts. No way.
I have stickers. I have stickers which I send to people in the UK and occasionally abroad. And I have t-shirts which I do like competition a couple of times a year usually.
Yeah.
And I give away t-shirts on it with the logo.
What do the competitions look like? Is it like who can juggle the most flaming chainsaws or is it a different kind of thing?
I think at the beginning I was trying to get the YouTube URL, the custom URL on YouTube, the CRM Ninja.
Yeah.
So I did a competition for people following me. If I was subscribed to the channel.
How many do you have to get that?
100.
Oh, okay. I think I've got 5.
I don't know other competitions I need to come up with.
Maybe steer away from the flaming chainsaws. There's probably some insurance stuff there. And then also your Twitter handle. What's that?
The CRM Ninja.
There you go.
In fact, even my LinkedIn profile is linkedin.com/the CRM Ninja. I've been on Mark Smith's mentoring challenge and he's been a mentor to me and a coach and stuff. And as he puts it, and other people put it as well, you know, if you're building a personal brand, really build it.
Ninja.
And I built the CRM Ninja because I have a ninja motorbike and I like ninjutsu. And CRM for me is about customer or client relationship management, regardless of which actual system you're using. And I thought, put it together. And there was already a Dynamics Ninja. And Microsoft might change the name from Dynamics at some point. So I thought, you know, I'm not going to go down the Dynamics route for that.
Well, and it gives you more room, too, so you can do some of the other things.
Indeed.
Yeah, Gary Vaynerchuk also has a couple of books out on branding and the same kind of thing where you just like you lean into it and you just put it everywhere. I haven't figured that one out yet, but I'll get there. I appreciate you coming on. Ashley, did you have any questions anymore?
No, this is great. It's been awesome talking to you. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, had a great time.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Of course.